Welcome into a special playoff week edition of Armchair Sports presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt. With me tonight is my co-host for probably the last, 4 to 6 weeks now, Garrett Thornton from Oregon Sports News. He's a senior writer on the staff. Yep. Garrett, how are you doing tonight?
Good. Glad to be back and excited to talk some Blazer basketball.
Yes, sir. You know, and our discussion may be a little more exciting than how well they've been playing lately, but we're hoping they can turn that around. Maybe they can listen to the show and get some pointers from us. Who knows? And I've also got my good friend Xander Jensen, who joined us last week, and he's back again. Once wasn't enough, so he's here tonight. Xander, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here.
Thanks for joining us. So tonight we're going to talk about Blazers basketball and what they've been doing in the playoffs. Most of you are probably aware. If you're not, shame on you. Blazers are down 0-2 to Golden State. We all knew this was going to be a tough matchup. I don't know if anyone saw it being this tough, where they actually got blown out on Wednesday night against a Kevin Durant-less Golden State. They were also down Sean Livingston and Matt Barnes. Had a couple guys step up in a big way, which is something that Portland's been missing. So let's dive right into it. Garrett, we'll start with you. What have you liked about this series so far? I mean, just from a viewer standpoint, it doesn't have to be Portland or Golden State specific. Just what have you liked watching these games?
Well, I mean, the game one was a lot more enjoyable than game two, obviously. Not just as a Blazer fan, but as a basketball fan. It was high scoring. It was a game of runs. Tied after three quarters. It was just the kind of playoff basketball game that you want to watch. Damian and CJ both had offensive explosions, and that was cool to see. Just at the end, the Blazers didn't have enough firepower at the end of the game, and the Warriors have five All-Stars on their roster, and it's hard to compete with that. And then game two was just a whole other story. Golden State came out with a little extra fire, and it was ugly from the tip, but it's been decent basketball. I mean, it's a fun brand of basketball. Each team likes to score and get up and down the court. And so I think if games three and four and beyond are more like game one, I think it'll still be a lot of fun to watch this series.
And Xander, you're a Minnesota transplant. You like the Blazers. They're kind of like your little younger brother as far as teams go.
Right.
Have you enjoyed watching this team in the playoffs? Do you like what you see? Or
like Garrett said, it was fun watching them in game one with CJ and Lillard seemingly hitting every shot that they took, driving to the basket, taking very low percentage
for three quarters,
shots, but dropping them. Yeah, for three quarters, it was a lot of fun. They were going shot for shot with Golden State, but then really just as a basketball fan, watching Golden State in both these games has been a lot of fun.
Sure.
They've just been efficient, quick. Everything's hidden for them. They're a fun team to watch. But it looked in the second game like, at least in the first quarter, no one on the Blazers other than Damian or CJ felt like taking shots. They looked nervous. They were like, just get the ball to CJ, get the ball to Lillard.
Sure.
And that caused a lot of mistakes. Vonleh tried passing the ball to Lillard and just went right into Curry's hands. It was kind of tough to watch the second game.
Sure. Well, and we're staring down the barrel of 0-2, and, you know, we're hoping that they would win a game or two in this series. Now that's not looking as likely, and Jusuf Nurkić has not played in this series yet. So, Garrett, we'll throw it back over to you. Let's assume that Nurkić cannot come back or they just decide to hold him out for this series. What could Portland do to turn this around in Game 3 on Saturday night?
I just think that they have to come out with some confidence. I think that was one of the big things missing yesterday. They took some uppercuts in the first couple minutes and just couldn't ever recover. They were turning the ball over a bunch, and I mean, you've got to give props to the Golden State coaching staff and their scouting staff. They were ready for everything the Blazers threw at them on Wednesday night. And I just think that they show that they're the overall better team. But for Portland to turn around, I think coming home is going to be a huge thing. Portland always plays better on their home court. Last year when they played Golden State in the playoffs, it was in Portland in the Moda Center when they got one game against them. Albeit that was against a Steph Curry-less Golden State Warrior team. It was when he was still out with his knee injury. But I just think the Blazers have to come out and play their game. They need to get the ball in Damian and CJ's hands, and when other guys get the ball around the perimeter, whether it be Crabb, Harkless, Aminu, whoever it is, they've just got to knock down shots, and they haven't been doing that in the first two games.
And that's a great point, and the supporting cast has just not been there for Portland. You've seen pretty much an 8 or 9 man rotation for Golden State. Portland's kind of stuck in second gear with a 7 man rotation, probably a 5 if we're being honest, because their complementary or role players are not really helping them out as much as we would hope. And I don't know that we expected them to, but I think they definitely need to. So Xander, same question to you. What have you seen from this Portland team that you like, that you think that they can improve on and turn this series around, other than bringing back Jusuf Nurkić, which doesn't look likely?
I like the second quarter of Wednesday night's game. The first quarter, like I said, everyone except for Damian and CJ looked uncomfortable. But when it got around to the second quarter, when shots weren't dropping for CJ and Lillard was out, you saw, like, Evan Turner, like Garrett said last week, was kind of his X factor. He looked like he was gaining confidence. He started, you know, he called his own number pretty early on,
right.
Took a couple shots. He looked good. The team looked cohesive. They looked like they were playing together, passing, right. Playing defense.
Then halftime happened,
and then they were just throwing up any shot, you know, with a hope and a prayer in the third quarter. But the second quarter, they made up a 16-point deficit, and they looked like they were playing as a team, and it wasn't just CJ and Damian led. So if they can do that for four quarters, and their best chance of winning a game in this series is this first game back in Portland.
Right.
So
Garrett, over to you. Is this a series where Portland's getting ahead of themselves, playing too much hero ball, and they need to slow it down, maybe play more of a San Antonio style of offense where they pass the ball a lot, be a little more efficient, or are they going to be better off trying to keep pace with Golden State in a sprint instead of a marathon?
I mean, I don't think that there's a right or wrong answer there. I think the Blazers have to stick with what they do best, and that's keep the ball in Damian and CJ's hands and shoot the three. And when the other guys aren't making their shots and there's no inside presence whatsoever, it's a lot of pressure on Damian and CJ. And so for this team to steal a game, it's going to come down to the other guys. As we saw last Sunday, CJ went for 40, Damian went for 30. It was 75 combined between those two, and they still lost. And the reason is the other guys just weren't doing it. There's no inside presence. Myers has been absent. Noah's been pretty average. And there's no Jusuf Nurkić. And so it's a one-dimensional, two-player game against a team full of all-stars and super good role players. And you've got guys like JaVale McGee scoring 15 against you on Wednesday. So it's just it's a huge mountain to climb. But if they're going to do it, I think it's really going to come down to the other guys, and you just got to play your game of basketball and not worry about trying something new this far into the season.
So Xander, same question over to you. Do you like how Portland's attacking Golden State, trying to hit shot for shot with them, or should they try to slow it down?
Well, they have to go shot for shot. That's just how they play their game. If they were to try and slow it down now and change their style to play like San Antonio or a slower game, they're just going to get outplayed. That's not what they're used to. I don't think they're built for that. I think they just need to stick with their game. Unfortunately, it's the same type of game that Golden State loves to play and thrives at, so we're kind of at a disadvantage. So they just got to keep trying it. But what we got out of Damian and CJ in the first game is the best that they're going to do.
Right.
I mean, we can't ask them.
You've just got to have more from supporting cast.
Yeah, and Alan Crabb is who I think needs to step up.
I'd agree with that. And if he and Evan Turner and Al-Farouq Aminu can have solid games, they don't need to have amazing games, just solid right. games. And CJ and Damian definitely need to continue to play at superstar yeah. levels. I mean, they were effectively shut down in game two across the board. I mean, they had some good moments, but combining for 23 points, they're going to need at least one of them to score that much on their own if they're going to have a shot here, even if it's in Portland.
Definitely.
So, Garrett, back over to you. Let's talk about this matchup on Saturday. Kevin Durant may or may not play. He sat out game two, and yet somehow the result was worse than game one when they faced a fully loaded Golden State team. Assuming Nurkic is not playing, I don't like their chances, but let's say Nurkic does come back. Does that, with the home crowd, give them the advantage in this game, or are they still the underdog here?
I think no matter how you cut it, they're going to be the underdog. You could bring Nurkic back. You could somehow get Ed Davis. I don't care who on this Blazer roster you put on the floor. I think you're going to be the underdog at home on the road no matter what against this Golden State team. I think if they brought Nurkic back, that it would boost the roster a little bit. You saw the excitement and the energy that they played with when he was on the floor. I think that would pump up the home crowd just that little extra bit. But I do think that playing in the Moda Center is a good advantage for the Blazers. They've always played well there in the playoffs, and I think that if they have a shot, like Xander said, this game three is their shot. I mean,
right.
if they come out Saturday and play flat like they did Wednesday, it's going to be tough. But if they play like they did on Sunday and it's tied three quarters in, I think it's anybody's game. And I never doubt Damian, especially on the home court in crunch time. We saw what he did against Houston. We saw what he did last year against Golden State in that game that they stole from him in the playoffs. So I think that this game three is the game, but I don't know that there's anything schematically or whatever that the Blazers can do. I think it's just going to come down to, are the Blazers making shots and are the Golden State Warriors not as hot as they've been?
That's a great point, and Xander will ask you the same question. Is there some hope for Portland if Nurkic comes back? And, you know, even if he's coming off the bench, which is probably the most likeliest of scenarios, and let's say Kevin Durant's out, what chance do you give Portland to win this game and get back in the series?
Well, not a great chance, but a better chance, probably the best chance of the series. I know with Nurkic coming back, we won't be getting three alley-oops to JaVale McGee in
right.
one quarter. So that was kind of frustrating to watch. We just didn't have the size to stop him.
Well, when you've got a seven-footer starting and another seven-footer subbing him out, and then you've got David West coming off the bench, and then you also have Draymond Green in the rotation, you essentially give up size at every level. It doesn't matter who you're starting or subbing in.
Right.
You're giving up size, and so then you have to be better on the perimeter. But when you've got guys just standing around waiting for their shot, that's not really effective.
No.
So they've either got to go in and just force shots and just see what falls, which is kind of what Golden State had to do on Wednesday with Clay and Steph both struggling from the floor but still chucking up shots. Even if Damian and CJ are getting double or triple teamed, they've got to still find a way to take some shots and take some pressure off the reserves that are struggling to win in these games.
Mm-hmm.
So on that go ahead, Garrett.
That's just one of the main differences, that on Wednesday night, Steph and Clay were struggling. I think Draymond Green scored 6 points in that game, but yet JaVale McGee came off the bench and scored 15. Pachulia started and scored 10.
Ian Clark had guys step up.
And yeah. play better than they normally do, and the Blazers just haven't had that guy. The Blazers haven't had anyone step up and say, this is the playoffs, this is my time. They just haven't had that. Everyone else has been absent. And so if they're going to win a game, that's what it's going to come down to, is those extra guys, whether they're rotation guys coming off the bench, whatever, someone else has to step up other than Damian and CJ.
So then speaking of that, who do you have faith is going to be that guy? Is that Mo Harkless? Is that Alan Crabb? Is that Aminu? Is that Noah Vonleh? Who's the guy that's going to be their third option if Nurkic can't go?
That's hard to pick. I mean, it's a coin flip between any of those guys. I think I'm going to say Alan Crabb. I think he's been so quiet in the first couple games that I think at some point it comes down to having a little pride and just making it work. And I think he's athletic enough and has the shot. We saw it at the end of the season in that game
against Minnesota.
3-pointers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so
old jab.
He can do it. And he went to Cal for college. And so he's said that playing Golden State is something he takes pride in. I think it's time for him to step up. And they need a scoring punch off the bench, which they just haven't had. And if that's Alan Crabb coming off the bench as the sixth man, if he can give them 15, 18 points, which isn't ridiculous to ask.
No, it's pretty realistic.
I think that swings the game a little bit.
It absolutely does, and, you know, he has nowhere to go but up right now. I mean, the guy is shooting 4 for 15 in two games right now, and he has more missed three-pointers and turnovers than points scored, which is kind of scary. And I think you're absolutely right that he's the guy that you would probably look to be the X factor, even though we all thought Evan Turner was probably the best shot at that coming into this series. But as far as from a scoring explosion that is desperately needed on the court right now, Allen Crabbe is definitely the guy I would pick. So, Xander, over to you.
Yeah, I'm going to pick someone else. I just went back and looked at the one game that the Blazers won against Golden State last year.
Right.
They got 40 from Lillard, 22 from McCollum, and 23 and 10 from Alfred Aquamino.
Okay.
We need another game like that in this game three from him. I remember watching that game. He was all over the court, defensively, offensively. It was fun to watch him kind of as that complimentary player. So, I would like to see him step up. And, of course, Crabbe, he needs to be hitting a couple more threes than he has been.
Right.
That's kind of what he's been good at for us in the past. So we've been missing that.
The only issue there is that that game was so effective for Aminu because he was shooting a lot of threes that night and also free throws, and he was charging the line.
Three free throws.
Is that something you want him doing and getting out of the post where he's probably the most useful right now and rotating around the perimeter and taking long shots, which is the same thing you're asking from Crabbe and Turner and now also McCollum and Lillard? Well, that's a lot of guys floating around the three-point line.
But Crabbe hasn't been effective. Evan Turner hasn't been effective, and we need to change something. So,
right.
Yeah. We've seen that Aminu can do it, so maybe give him the shot this Saturday.
It's a good point.
When you look at the other side of the court, that's what Golden State does, and that's what they do so well, is they've got four, sometimes five guys around that perimeter shooting threes. I mean, a lot of times they run Kevin Durant as their center and Draymond Green as their power forward, and they have five guys that are shooting threes. And so I'm not saying that you're trying to do what Golden State does, but if you're going to keep up with them in a slugfest in a three-point shootout, you've got to have guys that are shooting threes, and Al-Farouq Aminu has shown the ability to do that at times. And so I would rather have him shooting open threes than putting the ball on the ground, because every time he dribbles, I cringe a little bit.
Yeah, it just looks awkward. He's definitely not the best ball handler.
Yeah.
So at what point do you move him to center and maybe go really small with your lineup and start maybe Allen Crabbe at the three, move Turner to the four, and just try your own dead ball lineup? Is that going to be effective?
Well, you've seen that at some small stretches in this series. Aminu's been at the five. It hasn't been all that effective. I think unfortunately, you're playing against their lineups, which you don't want to do. You want to dictate your game. You want to do what you want to do and not have to worry about the other team. But just with the talent disparity on the floor, you're matching up with their lineup. And when they've got a seven-footer in the game, it's hard not to play Vonleh or Leonard, because Aminu and Harkless got eaten up in the post by Pachulia and McGee. They just had no chance against them in the post Wednesday night. And so, unfortunately, if they've got a seven-footer in the game, you've got to put a big guy in, and that takes away the ability to run that small ball lineup.
And we really haven't seen anybody have success at the five against Golden State in these two games. I mean, granted, it's a small sample size, but without Nurkic coming back, I mean, you basically are forced to go small no matter how you slice it. And Leonard just hasn't been effective. His game two was a disgrace. Game one, he barely played. I mean, it seems like he's kind of played his way out of the rotation, even though they don't really have anybody to spare right now. So we'll kind of see what they do with their bigs or lack of bigs. They definitely could use Nurkic, but with him not coming back, they're going to have to throw Aminu at the five a little more. They're going to have to throw Vonleh at the five as much as possible, where he's really out of his natural position. He's better as a power forward, and even then, he's got some work to do. So you're playing against, like you said, Garrett, four all-stars and a really solid five-player lineup no matter who's on the court, and I think that's going to be tough no matter who you throw at him. So let's move on to our next segment, which is, who's been your biggest surprise in the series as far as a Portland player's performance? Is it CJ's game one where he had a career high, or is it Damian you know, scoring 50 points in the two games combined. What's been the best player you've watched, Xander, that you thought had the best performance so far?
Well, I want to say CJ because he just played so well and out of his mind in that first game. But then he came down to earth and played so poorly in the second game. I don't know if he's hurt, if he's got that ankle issue, and if that played had any factor into the way he played on Sunday. But really, no one has surprised me. Lillard's done what we expect Lillard to do. CJ had that great game, but other than that, it's been kind of disappointing.
Right. So, Garrett, over to you. Same question. Is there a Portland player that you have been surprised by their performance?
I mean, that game one performance by CJ was pretty incredible.
Right.
I don't know that I would say surprised because we've seen him do it before. We saw him turn it up against Memphis in the playoffs a couple years ago. We've seen him score 43 in a game before. But 41 against Golden State in the playoffs is pretty incredible. He shot the ball super efficiently. He was the second leading rebounder on the team. He had 8 that night. So he was just involved all over the floor. And his defense is what people aren't talking about. His defense in that game was incredible. There was a couple times he really stood up to Klay Thompson. He blocked a shot in the post one time on Thompson. And he was all over the place. So CJ's performance in game one was really impressive. And that's something that I think the Blazers can take away from this series when it's all said and done is that CJ really is that legitimate second option, and he can be for a long time. He's still young and he's still in his rookie contract right now, so he still has progression. He's still going to get better, and so these two guards together are pretty good. But overall, it's been more disappointment than surprise and excitement. So
speaking of disappointment, which Blazer player were you looking for a big showing from, and you've been kind of let down by their performance so far?
I'm writing about it in my column on Oregon Sports News tomorrow.
Free plug.
I'm writing about the three biggest overreactions so far to the first round of the playoffs for the Blazers. And one of the overreactions is that Myers Leonard is the worst player ever. If you get on any social media during a Blazer game, it's terrible. I hope Leonard isn't on it. But in the digging, in these two games, Leonard's averaged 10 minutes a game, 2.5 rebounds, half an assist, 1.5 turnovers, and 2 personal fouls. And that's unacceptable. This is a big guy getting paid $11 million a year.
Right.
And the Blazers don't have a 7-footer on the roster other than him. Ed Davis is hurt. Festus Ezeli still hasn't played as a Blazer. Yusuf Nurkic, we don't know if he's going to come back this season. So the Blazers need 15 to 20 solid minutes out of Myers Leonard just to be a body, just to put his hands up in the paint
right,
and stop some of those alley-oops, to stop some of those wide-open drives that these guards are getting. So just to not be a factor at all has been the biggest disappointment in this series for me. I think that Myers has all the ability in the world, all the athleticism in the world, but something just isn't clicking for him, and he's just had a terrible series so far. That could all change coming home, coming back to the Motor Center, but it hasn't been encouraging the first two games.
No, absolutely not, and he's definitely got some work to do, and hopefully he comes out with the fire underneath him on Saturday and plays really well in the post, and so we'll see about that. So, Xander, similar question to you. Who's been disappointing so far in this series as a Portland Trailblazer? Who did you expect more out of that hasn't been living up to the hype?
You know, first I'm going to give you who has been disappointing all season for me, and that's Evan Turner with his $70 million four-year contract and really nothing to show for it. But as far as just this series goes in the playoffs, it's Alan Crabb. I really like watching Alan Crabb play. I like watching him when I'm at the games, when I'm watching. I just like his style, and I like watching him shoot. And so maybe that's just as a fan, I was looking forward to seeing him have a good game or two, or really produce or really impact the way that they played.
Right.
And he just hasn't yet. And that's kind of been a bit of a letdown.
And he's who I thought was my X factor going into the series. That if he had a good series, Portland had a better shot to win a couple of games, maybe even make it competitive and win the whole thing. And he's just had off nights both games. So hopefully game three, both he and Myers Leonard can come in and show that they're worth the big contracts they were given in the offseason. So, Garrett, the Kevin Durant injury, is that, you know, even with Nurkic out, is that big enough to keep Portland competitive in this series? I mean, let's say they lose, that they win game three. Is Kevin Durant sitting out that game helping them win, or is he playing and they win anyway? I mean, how big is Kevin Durant's injury to keep Portland competitive?
I mean, it's important. It's definitely something that the Blazers benefit from. But we also have to remember that this team with this same core minus Kevin Durant won 73 games last season.
Right.
And so this is a team that won a finals without Kevin Durant. Yeah, I know that they had Andrew Bogut and Harrison Barnes and some other pieces, but this is a team and a core unit that has been there, done that before. And so without Kevin Durant on the floor, I think they were like 12-4 in 16 games this year without Kevin Durant, something like that. And so this team is still one of the best teams in the league, even without Durant. Kevin Durant's just such a luxury for that lineup that he just makes them that much better. But I think that they're still, even without Kevin Durant, I think they would be the favorites to win the West.
Right.
And so that's how good this team is. And so Kevin Durant missing another game or two in the series isn't going to swing it in Portland's direction.
Xander, over to you really quick.
I agree with everything you said.
Garrett.
I don't think taking Kevin Durant away is going to change it. You saw the way that they played.
Wednesday was even more of a demolishing.
It was. And that could be for one of two reasons. They could have just come out with a lot of energy and surprised Portland because they wanted to prove that, hey, we don't need Kevin Durant. Or it just brought back that old chemistry that they've been playing together without Kevin Durant for the last 3 years.
Well, why doesn't Portland just try to prove they don't need Kevin Durant? That could work, right?
It could, yeah.
Okay, so we'll start with you, Xander. Mm-hmm. The series win at this point looks unlikely.
Right.
But what chance do you even give them to, A, to win Saturday, and B, to push this series to a competitive level where it goes to 6 or 7 games?
I don't think there's really anything that can be done. I think if Nurkic comes back, it'll be a lot more fun to watch. It'll be more entertaining.
Right.
But I really don't think Portland has any chance of winning more than one game, let alone that one game.
What chance do you give them?
What chance? 50-50? Like, you want me to give you a percentage?
Yeah.
5% at most.
To win one game?
To win one game.
Okay. Garrett, back to you. What do you think Portland's chances to win Saturday, with or without Nurkic, with or without Durant? What do they do with what could be their only playoff game at home that they win?
I'm a little bit more optimistic than Xander. I think that it's more 50-50 that they win Saturday.
Okay.
50-50.
I just think the Blazers realize what's at stake. This is a competitive group. They were one of the best teams in the league since the All-Star break. I think they were 17-6. And so this is a team that can win games. They went into San Antonio and won a game late. This is a team that's capable of winning a game in the playoffs, whether it's against the best team in the league or not. And so I think that they come out Saturday and I think they give it a shot. If they lose on Saturday, I think the Warriors come out on Monday and it's kind of one of those blood in the water situations and it gets ugly pretty quick. But so I do think the chance is Saturday. I think the Blazers have a shot to win that game. But even if they win that game, I say the series is over in 5 games in Golden State.
Hey, Garrett, so if I gave you 2-1 odds on Portland, you would take that?
50-50? 2-1 odds straight up?
Yeah.
This is Garrett. This is Garrett Thornton of Breaking Vegas that you're asking right now. You might want to be careful there, Xander. This is the man that's breaking Vegas one week at a time. Hey, Garrett, so you'll take that?
I think I might take that.
All right. We got a wager on our hands.
I think this team could come out and win a game on Saturday. I think that there's something special about playing in Portland, playing at home. There's a couple days rest in between, and I just think that they've got a bad taste in their mouths from what happened on Wednesday. And
yeah, that's true.
I think that something about professional the home pride is going to turn things around.
Well, and just really quick, back to your previous statement, you mentioned that Portland was one of the best teams since the All-Star break and that they beat San Antonio at home, or sorry, on the road. That was also with a healthy Jusuf Nurkić in the lineup. If that's not the case Saturday, are you still confident enough that they have a 50-50 shot, or does that lower their chances slightly?
I've kind of lost hope in Nurkić coming back. If he hasn't played so far, I think it's more than just a pain management thing. I think that they're worried about some damage being done, and I know that there's been contrary reports and whatever, but I don't think that they want to risk it. And at this point, if he doesn't, I think if he's going to come back, the word will come out tomorrow and they'll make that announcement, but I really don't expect him back. I think Portland can beat them without Jusuf Nurkić, but like I said earlier, it's going to take some efforts from the guys on the bench, and I think it's going to take a better effort from the big guys, Noah Vonleh and Myers Leonard.
Sure. Okay, so that both of you can get back in Mr. Drexler's good graces, I'm going to give you the same question I gave you last week, and we'll see if it changes your answer. If they decide to sit Kevin Durant again, and we get a 1992 Clyde Drexler in the lineup, Xander, are the Blazers winning?
That's when I'll give them a 50-50 chance.
Only 50-50? With Clyde Drexler?
Yeah, this Golden State team is just too good.
Clyde
the Glide.
He lives above the rim. More than JaVale McGee does.
I don't know what you want me to say.
All right. Garrett, what's your answer? You get a healthy 1992, prime of his career, Clyde Drexler to join this team, and they don't get Kevin Durant on the opposition. What are you giving them as far as chances to win?
Yeah, I'll give them a better chance. I'll give the Blazers a 75% chance.
There we go.
Heavily favored.
There's some real hope right there. Favored. Okay. All right, so we're running out of time on the show, so we're going to move into our lightning round. So we'll start with Xander. He's got some questions for Garrett, and then Garrett, hopefully you've got some questions for Xander, and we're going to see what you guys can do with this. It's just a little pop culture, get to know you kind of lightning round. So Xander, I'll hand it over to you.
Yeah, Garrett, it's going to be a little easy at first and then make you think of the last question a little bit. The first is a two-part question. What's your favorite TV show ever and that's still live running right now?
Favorite TV show ever would probably be The Office.
Nice.
I watched it an unbelievable amount of times and quoted on a daily basis. My favorite TV show still running now would probably be House of Cards.
Both very good options. I'm rewatching The Office right now. My wife hasn't seen it before,
Shame.
So it's just great
Shame.
Watching an old show like that with someone who hasn't seen it before. But all right,
we're talking about The American Office, right? The real one.
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Absolutely.
What's your favorite sport other than one of the major four?
Favorite sport other than one of the major four would have to be rugby, and specifically rugby sevens. I think that that's the next big thing. I think it gained some momentum in the Olympics, and I think you're going to be seeing rugby sevens more and more in the next few years.
So is the Olympic, where do you see this played?
Well, there's a rugby sevens tour that goes all around the world, actually. There's a stop in Las Vegas every March, and then they play in Vancouver, British Columbia, I think the end of March every year. But they've got a stop in New Zealand, Dubai. They play in Australia one stop, and it was an Olympic sport for the first time in like 60 years, this past Olympics, Summer Olympics. And I think that it's going to gain
some
momentum.
Football, though. What the heck?
It's really big in college. There's a lot of colleges that are really focusing on that, and the national championships are in Philadelphia every year. And I just think that it's gonna catch on here sometime.
Well, I knew you were gonna have an interesting answer to that one. All right, so just a couple weird ones now. Would you rather have the ability to fly or be invisible?
I think be invisible. I'm a prankster and I'd like to mess with people, and I think being invisible would give me that opportunity.
Okay, 3 feet tall or 8 feet tall?
8 feet tall. I've spent my whole life as a 5'8" mediocre athlete, and I would love to be 8 feet tall.
Oh, wait, it won't change your athletic ability, but...
Well, it doesn't matter. Sean Bradley was in the NBA, and so at 8 feet tall, I would love to just go play basketball, dunk on people, and just have a good time, because I've never been able to do that.
Okay, and the last one, if you could ask one person one question throughout all, you know, history of mankind, who would it be and what question would it be?
Oh, man.
I know. Put you on the spot with this one.
You're asking the easy ones.
You warned me on that one, that I'd have to think. I don't really know. I'd love to go back to the Blazers championship year and ask Jack Ramsey some questions, ask Bill Walton some questions. I think he's lost too many brain cells up at this point. So I'd like to talk to, like, 1977 Bill Walton.
Right.
What question would you ask him?
I don't know what question I'd ask him. That's a good one. I'll have a good answer for you, Xander, next time we do this podcast.
We'll table that one.
All right. Well, Garrett, we're almost out of time, but it's your turn to ask Xander a few random questions, and then we'll have to sign off. So for it.
I'll be quick. Which sport would fit best in Portland and why? Football, baseball, or hockey?
Oh, man. Probably hockey. I think hockey would do well here. I think Portland likes their kind of obscure sports, and they love the Winterhawks.
Thank you for calling hockey obscure. That made my day.
Well, I don't think it is, but it's not one of the main sports. Baseball would be a good one too. Baseball is a very regional sport, and Portland really rallies behind their team. So,
it would give the Portland Seattle rivalry another shot. So,
for all you Hops and Winterhawk fans out there, I apologize to you. We didn't mean anything by that. We know your teams exist.
Yeah, we're talking major league stuff, though.
Your words, not mine.
then my next question. Outside of Cleveland and Golden State, which team can you see winning the finals?
Outside of those two? Well, San Antonio is obviously the one that comes to mind right away.
Phoenix.
San Antonio just hasn't gotten any love, any press. I don't see anyone picking them. Not that I really am looking, but I think they're being...
Are they in the playoffs?
...overlooked right now.
Which NFL draft prospect are you most intrigued by and why?
Most intrigued? It's probably Joe Mixon, just to see what's going to happen with where he's going to fall after he's got the combination of talent and the off-field issues.
He's going to Dallas. That's where they go.
So they all go there. They're in New England. Yeah. I'm just curious to see what happens with him.
I agree with that. He's a freak athlete. I'm curious what's going to happen with Jabril Peppers. I think that he's pretty polarizing, and he could go anywhere from pick 10 to pick 70. So that's one that I'm curious on.
Agreed.
All right. Here's one fast-forwarding to June NBA draft. How many picks do the Portland Trailblazers make at the NBA draft?
How many picks do they make?
They've got three right now.
They have three picks right now?
Yeah, three in the first round, nothing in the second round.
Well, you know, I'm not used to them trading too much, so I would imagine, probably they'll keep all three. Do you disagree? Do you know something I don't?
If I were a betting man, which I am, I would say that the Blazers make one selection in the upcoming NBA draft.
And do what with the other two?
Shop Myers Leonard, shop Evan Turner.
I think they're going to shop some players, and I think that the hope's going to be to move up in the draft and find a game changer.
Okay.
Because at 15, 20, and 26, realistically, there's probably not a game changer. This is a team that has 15 guys on the roster moving into the offseason.
And a really high salary cap, too.
Yeah, and a really high cap. Things can change, obviously, trades can happen, but I don't expect the Blazers to pick all three of their selections.
Yeah, I think I'd rather them see them trade for a player than move up in the draft, just because for the most part, you need a couple years to develop anyone you draft, even if they are.
Yeah, we can talk about that after the season.
All right, next question.
Next question. What is the last movie you saw, and give me a 30-second review on it?
The last movie I saw, I don't remember if this is the last one, but this is the one that comes to mind right away. Oh, man, now I don't remember the
name.
You
said right away.
I know, it did. It's Arrival, that alien invasion movie.
They were just visiting. They were friendly.
Right. I was going to say, that's a little misleading saying it was an invasion. It was a very intelligent, smart movie. Aliens came, and our main character was trying to learn their language to understand why they were there and what their purpose was. And then, of course, you had the fear of just the general public wanting to immediately nuke them without trying to learn, about them. So that kind of conflict is what was really
good
fun
social
to see.
Commentary.
Yeah. So was it worth seeing or not?
Absolutely. Absolutely worth seeing.
Two
one
thumbs
of my,
up.
One
of thumbs
my top
up.
Three movies of the year last year.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, very good.
Well, that's my five questions, Casey.
All right. Well, thank you both for being on this week. We're out of time. We're a few minutes late, but it was worth it. Love talking to you guys. Love talking sports. Thank you both for being on, and thank you to the band Liebecker for introducing us to music, which is a really fun thing we hear. And they're just a great band from the Great Northwest. Check them out at www.liebeckermusic.com. Thank you to Oregon Sports News for helping us create this show. And thank you to Xander and Garrett for being on the show tonight. Hope you guys have a good weekend. And hopefully the Blazers can pull one out of their hat this weekend and get a win. This has been Armchair Sports presented by Oregon Sports News. Thank you for listening and good night.